Light it up on a Friday. Friday edition of Light the Tower on the Horn. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. I am Jeff Howe. Trying to get my microphone in place. There we go. It's live radio. Trying to be somewhat professional. I know that's a challenge for me some days. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we just thank you so much for being a part of a presentation as we get you ready, take you into a football weekend. Starts with the prep scene, and we will get to that here in just a moment. Craig Way not with us today. Today is Craig's last day out. He will be back on Monday as we're back next week into a Texas game week. Texas taking on Baylor, but we'll talk some Longhorns today on the show. But a lot of high school football getting you ready for the action tonight, and nobody else better to do that than the man who covers preps unlike any other in our Fairburg. He is the publisher, curator, otherwise major domo of everything FlexATX. FlexATX.com, at FLXATX on Twitter and Instagram. He is the great, the legendary, the one and only Snoop Daniel. Don't sell yourself short, Snoop.
Not.
How are you this morning, Snoop?
Good. I think I need to start taking Claritin again because my allergies are coming back. But, you know, it's so funny. When you take allergy medicine, allergies mess with you a little less. So I don't know who I think I am to not take allergies and allergy medicine and complain about allergies.
Well, yeah, it is that time of year. Everybody, I think, has been feeling it a little bit.
But yeah, last night, the games were late, dude. I kicked it with Mike Roach on the sideline.
Now, Mike Roach will not join us today. Mike has some appointments and some business to tend to today, so Mike will not be with us for his weekly visit. We'll mix in some recruiting today, though, since we are high school football heavy on a Friday. And there's no Longhorn game tomorrow, so we'll get to some high school football. We'll get to some recruiting. So you chopped it up with Mike at the San Marcos Del Valle game. That's where I want to start, Snoop. Specs text line is open, 337-3776. Somebody already getting on you, Snoop, said they want Eminence Front as the lead-in to the show.
Sorry. Okay.
No, here's the deal. Look, here's my deal with Eminence Front. That's our theme. I'm trying to negotiate with Craig. I think we should only play that once a show. Like, open the show with it at 10, but don't play it twice.
Behind the curtain.
I'm giving everybody a peek behind the curtain, so
no.
I might even take suggestions for what people want in hour number two. Or we might just you know what I think the best play is? I think we just try different things and see what catches Craig's ear and whatever he likes, which will be a mutual like between the three of us. That's what we go with.
Have no say.
We'll just audition different tracks. This show is one-third yours, Snoop, so yes, you have say in that. But at any rate, so high school football last night, you were with chopping it up with Mike Roach at the San Marcos Del Valle game. Run it down for us, Snoop.
You want some light
actually
flex?
This is like a brunch edition of the flex, running down what happened on the high school football scene last night.
San Marcos and Del Valle, and I live in the valley now, so it was good to actually get out to a game and enjoy it on a game night. And it's a beautiful venue. It's one of the best in Austin. Yep. Most of the people were there to see Braylon James, the junior wide receiver for Del Valle.
Andre Coleman, the Texas wide receivers coach, was in the house.
Yes.
David Shaw, the Stanford head coach.
See, and they showed them on Fox 7 this morning, and I could not identify them by name. All I remember was, like, people were like, these guys are here. I was like, so that's a Texas coach and a Stanford coach there to watch.
Was the Stanford coach in the house last night.
So forgive me for missing out on Fox 7 this morning. But Braylon, he obliged and scored a touchdown in the first half. And Del Valle actually went up 28-7 before San Marcos scored a late tutty in the second quarter and then outscored them. They trailed by 14 at the half, and they won by 14. But Braylon James had a good game. And there's this kid for San Marcos. He is legit 6'8", 6'9". Like, he looks like he don't belong. But he's ineligible, I think, because he just moved there. So he's suiting out, but he's not playing. But that dude is a monster. So it's fun to watch that game last night. So because I thought Valle...
Ori Williams, 2024.
Did you see this picture?
Lineman. Yeah, Mike posted it on his Twitter account.
Oh, my God.
2024 offensive lineman, Ori Williams, 6'8". 320 pounds.
Bruh, remember when I said Stalker McDougal was like the biggest guy I've seen? Like, this guy is like on that level. And he's only a sophomore.
When we started the broadcast week, I did not think we would have two Stalker McDougal references in different days on the show this week. So props to you, Snoop, for making that happen.
But that's it. So I thought Del Valle had it in the bag. So I went over to see Travis and Crockett. Two Austin ISD schools battling it out for a playoff spot. That's why I was at a game till almost 11 o'clock. because the cramps were setting in, man.
Yeah.
And sometimes a cramp is so bad, it's debilitating. You feel like you're going to die. I don't know, like, for people who aren't that athletic and never experienced an extreme Charlie horse, I mean,
it's rough, man.
You feel like you want to chop your leg off. But anyway, so a lot of that was happening. Eventually, Travis outlasted Crockett 44-40. I was glad to see both teams score a lot. It got chippy, but not to the point where you worried that it was about to go down. I actually got a quick interview. It's like 20 seconds from the guys. It's Leon Ikanga and Nate Davis, seniors for this Travis team, after that game. Here we go.
We came out together as a team and got the win. I'm so proud of my team. We came out. We've been working for this all week, all year. We had some setbacks, but we finally got it together, and we made it to the playoffs.
It was feeling great to be my senior year, to be able to play and come back with them. And as we fought and fought, we prepared for this win. We prepared to play Crockett for the playoffs, and we punched it in and got it.
So there we go.
Was there some hollering at the cheerleaders in that clip that I heard? Did I hear that right?
Yes. <Okay. laughs>
Man, it's, you know,
you got to shout out the cheerleaders.
17-year-old kids. I was there. Sometimes you just act a fool.
You caught that of everything.
Oh yeah.
That was
So Travis gets the win over Crockett. Yeah. So that gives them the inside track on that fourth.
Well, Travis basically clinched because they've played most of their games. Some of their games have gotten canceled this year between Eastview Memorial not fielding a varsity team and some cancellations by some school canceled on them. So they're basically done except for the last game of the year. So they're in.
And then District 14, 5A, D2. All right. Yeah. So we mentioned the San Marcos Del Valle game, Crockett and Travis. What else?
Three other games. Cedar Park, Pflugerville, a lot closer than I think people would have thought. Cedar Park won the game, but it's 37-32.
Okay, because that was a 20-6. I was flipping through channels last night, and I landed on the KBVO broadcast with Roger Wallace and Keith Moreland. I think it was a 20-6 Cedar Park lead in the second quarter when I flipped through.
Timberwolves never trailed, but Pflugerville is a good team. It's going to be a shame if they don't make the playoffs because they got a good squad. McCallum Northeast was lopsided. The Knights jumped on them early and won 42-0. In the end. But the surprise of the night, the Hendrickson Hawks beating Anderson 28-21 last night. That was probably the shocker because the Hawks have endured so many injuries. And Anderson, when they haven't lost, they've been dominant. They've averaged over 44 points per game. But last night, the Hawks got just enough, and they beat the Trojans. And actually, Hendrickson has a shot at that fourth spot now with wins over Cedar Park and Anderson in district.
There you go. So,
There it is.
That was your Thursday night high school football slate here in our Fairburg.
Through my allergy nose.
So we'll get to our Whataburger top five here next segment. We'll also have our weekly chat with Bowie head coach Jeff Abels. Big one for the Bulldogs tonight over at Burger, hosting Lake Travis. So they know what the task is. They've already played Westlake. They're getting the Lake portion of their district schedule wrapped up tonight. So a big one for the Bulldogs, and we'll get with Coach Abels here in just a second. So, Snoop, Friday night's for you. You've got the Flex,
yep,
which our programming here on the Horn, 6:30 pregame with Snoop on the Flex. He'll get you ready for your high school football Friday night before we switch to 7:15 with the pregame shows, 104.9. You get the Lake Travis broadcast with Mark Honig, Bucky Godbolt, and Stu Myrick. On 105.3, The Bat, you're going to get the Bowie broadcast with D. Hansen and Steve Foster. Whichever broadcast you want to listen to, go right ahead. You want the Lake Travis broadcast, you want the Bowie broadcast, but whenever you're tuned into the Austin Radio Network on Fridays, it's going to be Snoop and the crew getting you ready with the Flex at 6:30. Snoop, do you have anything you like to do, like a pregame ritual, like
sleep
for Friday nights? Just get you a nap, that pretty much.
Dude, yes, because I'm telling you, it's a whirlwind until after 1:30 a.m. because not only are you you're blogging, you're trying to get stuff on a website, also you're trying to get stuff up on social, so you're just trying to put up content on all these different channels, and then you have to turn around and, well, for me, I just edit video basically through Monday morning.
Yeah,
Saturday morning through Monday morning. Edit Steven Spielberg, baby.
Hey, Steven, when you're talking about cramps, are you talking about you yourself were cramping?
No, man. Well, maybe a little bit. My back is actually experiencing some cramping because I'm not as young as I used to be. But kids, they run and just like there was one play where a kid just spent before the snap, the kid just fell over.
Oh, Jesus!
Because his leg just seized up. He's like, ah! You're like, time out.
and get you some pickle juice.
I mean, just standing there. I mean, that's how bad it was. I don't see
pickle
how.
Pickle juice, Pedialyte.
God bless you if you can run through a cramp, because there was a lot of that.
That's
like
tough,
a kid,
man.
Like, kept like feeling the cramp coming on, and they just kind of stretch. Heck no. You know, like, that it's coming. And
I was not athletic enough to deal with cramps. You
really?
You have to be an athlete to deal with cramps.
Okay.
I was not athletic enough to deal with cramps. Because somebody was giving you hydration advice. Hydration, they said, can help your allergies, too. But it also helps the cramping. But
yourself
were not dealing with the cramping.
I wouldn't doubt if I'm dehydrated.
That was the young man on the field dealing with some cramps last night. So we'll get to all of our normal Friday fare here on the show. But right now, let's go ahead and get a little notebook action.
Let me hit that again. Sorry, Barra.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
It's okay. You do your best back there, Snoop. And it is appreciated. So the Longhorns are off this week, as we all know. That's going to give the staff a chance to do some recruiting. We mentioned Andre Coleman was at the Del Valle San Marcos game last night, checking in on Braylon James. Also, some intriguing prospects on that San Marcos club. Coach Walsh and that staff trying to build that program down in my neck of the woods in Hays County. But the Texas coaches are out and about. So Kyle Flood made a couple of critical stops yesterday, including one stop at Arlington Bowie. He went and checked on Devon Campbell, the five-star offensive lineman who Texas is in hot pursuit of. Oklahoma, USC, Alabama also in the mix there. He also checked on some other 2023 prospects in the Arlington area, but Devon Campbell got a visit from the Longhorns this week. Steve Sarkisian said that's what the staff was going to do. They were going to go out and try to get some stuff done on the recruiting trail with the off week this week. He's planning, along with A.J. Milwee, to head out west, specifically to the state of Utah, to check on Draper, Utah corner, Canyon quarterback Devin Brown, who just got an offer from the Longhorns, a four-star prospect in the class of 2022, ranked number 59 overall in the country in the 24/7 Sports composite rankings, the number 5-ranked quarterback prospect in the country. It does seem like Texas is now going, at least publicly, going in on taking two quarterbacks, making this a two-quarterback class in 2022. And it's a smart play. Number one, it's not a bad thing to invest a lot of resources in that position because of the nature of transfers. Second, and more pertinent to the current state of affairs, I mean, you've got to protect yourself in case one of Casey Thompson or Hudson Carr decides after the season to leave the program. And Casey Thompson's got a couple of years of eligibility left. We know Hudson Card's got a full career in front of him. If one of those guys leaves, nothing against Charles Wright, but you don't want to be down to two scholarship quarterbacks. That's a spot you never want to be in. And until Charles Wright gets in a game and plays, you really don't know what he's going to bring to the table. You don't know until he gets on the field under the lights in live action how he's going to react to that. So if one of those guys leaves, you want to have as many young bodies in the pipeline as possible. Charles Wright's on campus. They've got Malik Murphy committed in the 2022 class already. So Devin Brown, right now, who's currently committed to USC, he has a Texas offer. The Longhorns are recruiting him, so we'll see if Texas can add another quarterback to the 2022 class. Again, Steve Sarkisian and A.J. Mill, we do to see Devin Brown this week. Mentioned Andre Coleman checking on Braylon James. He's also going to be in the Metroplex checking on four-star wide receiver commit Armani Winfield at Louisville, who's flirted with Michigan State a little bit. Also going to check on 2023 prospect Ashton Cozart, who's a really fast rising prospect in the state of Texas out of Flower Mound. Marcus, 6'3", 180-pound wide receiver, one of the better wide receiver prospects in the state in the 2023 class. Jeff Choate, he's also headed out west, going to check on Lander Barton, the four-star linebacker prospect out of the state of Utah. Terry Joseph is going to be headed to the state of Louisiana, going to check on Jacoby Matthews, the one-time LSU commit. Also going to check on Shaz Preston, one of the top wide receiver prospects left on the board for Texas, along with Evan Stewart. And Blake Gideon's going to be in East Texas checking out some prospects tonight. So that's where the Texas staff is going to be this week. Recruiting never stops for that staff, and they've got some spots to fill. What I'm intrigued to see, and I don't think Sark has gone on the record talking about this, but what the NCAA has done, which is allowing a program to basically refill spots that they lost in the transfer, with guys leaving via the transfer portal, you can replace up to seven transfers you lost. how Texas chooses to do that is going to be interesting. If they just want to fill up on guys, maybe you take – it's a good year then maybe to take an extra quarterback, to take a couple extra offensive linemen, to take an extra defensive back, whatever you've got. Texas right now, the 2022 class for Steve Sarkisian, his first full-cycle recruiting class, number 6 in the country right now, according to the 24/7 Sports composite rankings with 22 verbal commitments. There was some concern maybe from Texas fans that that was going to get down to 21. Jaden Blue, the Klein Kane running back who opted out of his senior year, there was some buzz that maybe he was thinking about decommitting. I know Mike Roach was on top of that at Horns 24/7 throughout the week. As of Wednesday night, Mike's last check, it sounded like things had kind of settled down. Texas, two really quality backs Texas has in this 2022 class with Jaden Blue and then Jamarian Miller out of Tyler Legacy. So Texas still now with two really quality running backs in the class of 2022. You can get all your recruiting information. You can get it at Horns 24/7. Mike and Nick Harris do an outstanding job. And if you're a subscriber to the Longhorn Blitz podcast, which you can do anywhere you get your podcasts, just search Horns 24/7. Click that follow button. You get every episode of the Blitz. You also get every episode of the Flagship with Chip Brown and Taylor Estes. And you get every episode of State of Recruiting with Mike and Nick. That is an outstanding podcast. If you are a Texas Longhorn recruiting freak, that is a must listen for you each and every week, the State of Recruiting podcast with Mike Roach and Nick Harris. So there's your notebook for this hour. We'll take a break, come back, our weekly conversation with Bowie head coach Jeff Abels ahead of that massive matchup for the Bulldogs tonight as they host Lake Travis at Burger Center. We'll talk to Coach Abels when we come back and get to this Friday edition of the Whataburger Top 5. It's the top 5 games to watch in the area. We'll do that with Snoop when we come back on Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
RBKD.
Is it Desmond Jackson?
Big high school football Friday night here, not just on the Horn, but all across the Austin Radio Network. You've got Vandegrift Westwood on 101.9 and AM 1260, 6 o'clock pregame with Snoop and the Flex. And then the big one, it's Bowie and Lake Travis. Here on the Horn, you can get the Lake Travis broadcast starting at 6:30 with Snoop and the Flex, but 7:15 pregame with Mark Koenig, Bucky Godbolt, and Stu Myrick. And then on 105.3 The Bat, as you hear Bowie football each and every Friday, it's 6:30 with Snoop and the Flex. And then a 7:15 pregame with D. Hansen and Steve Foster getting you ready for that 7:30 kickoff. I am Jeff Howe. Snoop Daniel is behind the glass, and it is time for the Friday edition of our weekly coaches interviews brought to you by our good friends at Cedar Park Overhead Door, cpdoors.com. And with that, we go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. It is Friday. That means it's time for us to visit with the head coach of the Bowie Bulldogs, Bowie and Lake Travis tonight, Coach Jeff Abels joining us. Coach Abels, how are you on a Friday?
I'm good. Good morning, guys.
Coach, Snoop and I were talking about this a minute ago, and you know, we get you on a Friday, so I don't know if we disturb your morning routine, but I've heard some coaches say that, you know, morning of a game, they got to go to the Waffle House and sit in a certain booth and get their order a certain way, some game day superstitions. Is there anything you like to do, you know, the morning of or lunchtime or maybe even, you know, mid-afternoon on a game day?
I need to stay away from the Waffle House because football season can start putting some weight on you. So,
trust me, I know that one, Coach.
I can't do that. No, I usually come in and watch the JV and freshman films and just evaluate our guys from that and just normal stuff.
There you go. Before we get into to your varsity kids, Coach, how are your sub-varsity teams doing this year? That's always important, tracking their progress.
They're doing well. They're both 7-2 right now. So, you know, they're both developing well, and you know, it's a process where you continue to get these guys and try to build them up and get them bigger, faster, and stronger, and then learn your system too. Because, like I was talking to our freshmen yesterday, I think we had like 5 different middle schools that they were coming from, and some of them weren't even here last year. Some of them didn't even get to play football last year with the COVID situation. And, and you know, we're playing some people that, you know, they have a feeder system that they've been playing together a good while, and that's good for them, you know, but we're trying to play catch up. And so, you know, I just reminded them that, hey, we just got to keep our nose to the grindstone, keep working hard, and good things will come.
Coach, your team, your varsity goes out last week, gets a 51-6 win over Aikens, and you know it's an interesting spot for your kids to be in. We talk about the familiarity your kids have with the kids at Aikens. You come off of a loss to Westlake, and it's before Lake Travis. How proud were you of your team's response to, number one, not dwell on that loss to Westlake, but two, you know, not look ahead to what this week is and respect the opponent last week?
I think our guys have done a really good job all year of one game at a time. And I know it sounds, you know, everybody says that and they talk about that. And you do, you talk about it, but sometimes kids and even coaches can start looking ahead. And our guys have done a great job all year of, hey, let's get better tonight, you know, and improve and get better. And then let the chips fall, and then we'll rebound the next morning. On Saturday morning, we'll go back and look at the film, see what we did right, see what we did wrong, and go to work on that for the next week. And I thought they did a really good job of rebounding from that Westlake game and playing a big rivalry school like Aikens, you know, right across, you know, the street from us just about, and guys that they know and have some really good players and came out and did a really good job for us and had a great game.
Coach Abels, I wanted to ask you about the Booster Club. I know this year has been less COVID-y, I guess, than the year prior, but the job that Atlanta Ford, Dory, and the crew have done this year for your Bulldogs.
Man, I can't tell you enough, Snoop. I was texting Elena yesterday. I can't even remember what we were talking about, but it's like a job for her. I mean, she's not getting paid, but she is like my assistant, where if I need something, I text her or call her, and she's always available and always willing to help us out. And I think I told her that yesterday. Hey, I will never be able to thank you and Hank enough for what you've done for our program over the last several years. You know, they've been the president the last 2 years. And then our booster board, you know, Monica Welch, Lisa Barnes, and all of them, that all the things that they do behind the scenes that help. It's all about the kids, and that's why they do it. But I certainly do appreciate them, and they do a great job. And we've been really, really blessed here at Bowie to have a lot of really good Booster Club parents over the years. And Elena and Hank and all those people I mentioned are some of the best. And we couldn't do what we do without them.
Bowie head coach Jeff Abels joining us here on Light the Tower on the Horn for his weekly visit on Fridays. Coach, talk a little bit about your run game. Noah Camacho, I know he was productive for you last year, but you look at his production this year, he's averaging almost 2 full yards per carry more than he did last season, about 20 yards per game more than he did last season. He's doubled the number of 100-yard rushing games he had from last year, 8 rushing touchdowns. What have you liked not only about his progress, but if your running back's that productive, that probably means the big guys in front of him are having a pretty good year too.
Yeah, Noah really worked hard over the offseason. He got stronger, got a little faster as well. Has good hands catching the ball. And like you said, it starts off with those guys up front that have done a great job for him, and he'll be the first one to tell you that. But really pleased with Noah, Max Barnes, you know, even Braylon Thomas has come in and played some running back for us. But all those guys, again, it starts up front with that offensive line. And I was really pleased with the way we spread things around last week. Cash Peters had a great game. Anthony Simmons, Noah Vasquez, and our quarterback Connor Kenyon did a great job as well offensively.
Well, Coach, when you look at, everybody knows about the Lake Travis program and the success that Coach Carter's program has had. When you sat down and started watching the tape with your staff on Lake Travis, what stood out to you?
They have good athletes. They're big. They're strong. They're very athletic. They have good schemes. And you know, they've played together for a bit, and they have some guys that have moved in that have helped them. But they're just solid. You know, they're a good program, and Coach Carter and his guys do a great job. And That's what we see. I mean, they are what you see. They're a really, really good football team, one of the top in the state. I think ninth was the last time I saw them ranked, and you know how that could be. There's not much difference between 1 and 10, you know. So these guys are good. They're like Westlake. They're a good football program, good athletes, big up front, and explosive.
Coach, I want to ask you one more question. Will you look at Coach Dodge and kind of see him going through his last season? Do you ever think about, like, whenever your last dance will be? And I don't know. I was just, like, wondering about that. I don't want you to ever retire. But
no, man, I'm too young to do that. Todd's old. I'm not old. He's old. No, I'm actually a little older than him, but no, I'm happy for him. And you know, you never know when your last game's going to be, and I think that's one of the things this COVID stuff has taught us is, man, you don't take anything for granted. Every day is a blessing, and I'm just very fortunate to be here. And truly, every morning, every night before I go to bed, and when I get up in the morning, I thank God for the opportunity to be a coach and to be able to coach young men like we have here at Bowie. And it's a calling, and there's, I know, a lot of people that you don't get to talk to, but and their record may not be 7-0 or 8-0, or they may not win a state championship. They may have a losing season by the record, but they do the same things that we're all doing, and that's working with kids every day, trying to make a difference in their lives and trying to mold young men into good people for the future.
Yeah, Coach, kind of similar along those lines, one thing I've always admired about your program that I think is really cool is you've got so many former players, you know, not just that come back to coach, but, I mean, I've been to Bowie games in recent years, and you can see, you know, Michael Griffin on the sideline supporting your team. So many former players just want to come back and be a part of it. I don't know if that's something that Coach Cox started that you carried on or something you wanted to emphasize when you became the head coach, but what is it about just that environment you've created over there where so many players just want to come back and be a part of it?
Well, I think you said it. Coach Cox built this thing. He is the guy that started this program, and one of my very best friends taught me what it's really about. And it's about the kids, and it's about loving them, trying to make sure that you do everything you can to help them to be better people, because football is going to be over for most of them at some point, you know, after 4 years, and then they go on to other things. And you want to teach them those values that football teaches, the life lessons. And then I think you need – we've learned in our culture around here is that they need to know that you love them. You know, they're going to mess up, and they're going to make mistakes, and you're going to correct them. But you're going to make sure that they understand at the end of the day, hey, look, we're here for you. We love you. We want you to be good people when you leave here. And one of these days we want to be able to go back and go, is this guy a good husband and a good father with his family? And we have a whole bunch of that have gone through this program, and as you said, Coach Cox started that. I'm just blessed to be a part of it, and our coaches do a good job of relaying that message to all of our kids every day, and we're very fortunate to be here.
Good people, good culture, good results on the field. The Bowie Bulldogs had that year in and year out. They've got it this year. 6-1 tonight at Berger, hosting Lake Travis. Again, 6:30 pregame with Snoop and the Flex, and then the Bowie broadcast, as it is each and every game for the Bowie Bulldogs, with Dee Hansen and Steve Foster on 105.3 The Bat. Coach Abels, thank you as always for your time on Fridays, and good luck tonight.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a great day. Appreciate what you do.
Thank you, Coach. There he is, Jeff Abels, head coach of the Bowie Bulldogs. His weekly visit, again, brought to you by our good friends at Cedar Park Overhead Doors. CPDoors.com if you need them. All right, and with that, it is time for a Friday edition with Snoop of the Whataburger Top 5.
Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's edition.
Here we go.
Top 5 matchups of the week.
It's the big one, Snoop. 5 matchups. You ready back there, Snoop?
I am. Sorry.
He's got headset off. I don't know what's going on.
I didn't know
if I needed a filibuster or what.
Craig will expound. He's
I just didn't know if I needed a filibuster or not, but you're good.
I'm good. Okay, so my top 5 games, I have them right in front of me. I wanted to write them down to make sure. Here we go. Okay. So my number 5 game is Connolly versus Bastrop. Okay. Two teams that haven't had the greatest season, but both of them still clinging on to playoff hopes. Bastrop getting their first win of the season last week, and a shocker over Eastview, and Connolly with a chance to get their second district dub. So that's number 5.
That was a shocker last week, Bastrop getting that win. Because I heard you talking about it on the flex as I was driving around, that Bastrop maybe just playing for pride, didn't know if they were gonna what you were gonna get from them in that game with the Eastview.
And it was at home, so they got a win in front of their home crowd. So who knows? I mean, they can make it 2 in a row tonight.
So good on the Bears.
My number 4 game is LBJ versus Lampasas. A little 4A action here. I know the Badgers, they opened up the season with a loss, and so you lose Ace Whitehead and Jack Jerome and Owen Seaver and players like that, and people start to discount you a little bit. But 2-0 in district play. LBJ has been pushed by Fredericksburg and Canyon Lake. So that's why I feel like you shouldn't, even though LBJ is number 1 in the state, you shouldn't just write this game off as a dub for LBJ, although I'm expecting the Jaguars to win. I think Lampasas is out to prove something, that they aren't just Ace Whitehead's team.
By the way, Victor has already texted in. He texted in right when we went on the air, saying he is all kinds of geeked up for this game at Nelson.
That should be awesome.
Between LBJ and Lampasas.
Somebody said Bastrop owned Eastview, and it was homecoming. Oh, cool. I love the text specs text line when it's happy.
Keep it clean for Snoop, all right?
My number 3 game is Vista Ridge versus Hutto. This game is happening at Gupton Stadium. The Hippos, I would say, to me, they've had, because of, I know the talent they have, I feel like it's been a down year for them. But they can turn it around. I know last week's loss to Stony Point hurt, but all is not lost. They have to knock off a Vista Ridge team that looked deadly against Westwood. They won 42-2. So Vista Ridge, red hot, Hutto reeling. The Hippos can really turn it around with a dub tonight. And Vista Ridge can basically, I don't want to say basically.
Didn't
say
we decide this is in 25-6A, this is basically an elimination game?
Yeah, for certain for Hutto. And Vista Ridge probably. So my number 2 game, Seguin versus Buda Johnson. Hello.
You're all about this one.
Unbeaten, both of them in District 12, 5A, D1. I think the Matadors are super slept on. Buda Johnson, I think, is starting to get the props they deserve. Like, they're people across the state.
To get you on that Johnson Jaguar beat.
Bruh, I went to their practice one time in the offseason, and it was a lightning delay, and their coach Hoffman went off. He was so upset that they didn't get to practice. I was like, I ain't no way in heck I make that guy mad. Dude, those coaches are in their grill. You know, they got great coaching down there. From someone who doesn't really know, maybe when I'm looking at coaching, what I saw with my eyes, I'm like, these coaches, they have these kids like military. And I'm like, they're going to have a great season. Well, they're unbeaten. So, Seguin, this is a big test for Buda Johnson. It's on the road at Matador Stadium. So, big test for Buda Johnson. If they want to go into Dripping Springs undefeated, Dripping Springs, by the way, is playing Harlandale. Number 1 game, Whataburger Top 5, Manor versus Weiss. I think it's so cool that 4 of the 11 5A teams played yesterday, so they get to go out to this game and watch it tonight. Both of these teams are undefeated in district play. I'm going to say Manor. They haven't lost since losing to the number 1 ranked 4A team, LBJ, to start the season. Weiss Wolves have been rolling of late. They were my preseason darling, and this game is going to be awesome. That's really all I can say is it's going to be awesome. That's my Whataburger Top 5.
There
I don't know
is.
Who to pick. Who,
Snoop got through it.
Who would
Whataburger
I pick?
On Friday.
I guess I would.
Top 5.
Man, you know, as much as I've been pimping Weiss as like the state's darling, I wouldn't. Man, I don't know. I wouldn't put it past Maynard to win tonight and for Weiss to be a much better team because of it.
Yeah, so Dripping Springs is at Harlandale tonight.
Yeah, team, I got it
as
right.
You said. And next week, if Dripping Springs takes care of business, if Johnson passes this Seguin test, that would be 8-0 Dripping Springs
wow.
and 8-0 Johnson next week in the Battle of Hays County.
And what's crazy is, like, those two teams are going to play two teams from 11-5-AD1, which is a heartbreaker. Because last year, Georgetown had such a great season, and they lost, like, the running back dropped the ball in the end zone, and they lost to Dripping Springs. So that's the only thing that sucks about Bye District is these teams that we've been rooting on for 10 straight weeks, 11 straight weeks, now they got to knock each other out. So
We also got a text probably from the eastern reaches of Williamson County. I'm guessing where this one's coming from. Granger versus Burton is a top 20 matchup tonight in Class 2A. Also, it's Thrall and Thorndale. That's a historic rivalry, Thrall and Thorndale, this week. So there you have it. There is a Friday edition top matchups on the Waterburger Top 5. And don't forget, whatever broadcast you're listening to tonight, whether you're listening, do you get the time on the Vandegrift pregame sorted out?
6:30.
Okay, so it's 6:30. All across the Austin Radio Network, whether you're listening to the Vandegrift Westwood on 101.9 and AM 1260, the Lake Travis broadcast for the Lake Travis Bowie game here on 104.9, or on 105.3, the Bat the Bowie broadcast, it's all going to start at 6:30 with Snoop and the Flex across those airwaves, across our airwaves, these airwaves.
We got whip around coverage from the IHS fanboys.
There you go.
They got all these other games covered too, like Round Rock versus Stony Point, etc. So
I'm telling you, and I'm not just saying this because he's sitting in the same building as I am right now, and like we can't high five each other because there's a big piece of glass in between us.
I am Robin Quivers, he's Howard Stern.
Well, thank you for that, Snoop. I appreciate that. But I'm not just saying that because he's here. Like really, if you're driving around tonight at 6:30, right after RBKD, just listen to the Flex. If you've ever cared anything about high school football, it will make you proud that high school football in our area is being covered in the manner it is by Snoop and the crew of Flex ATX. Flex is a great, great show. And then, like I said, how late do y'all go
on the social feeds until 1:32 in the morning. Sometimes, yeah, I'm putting out stuff like it's the post time I wake up in the morning is like post time 1:20 a.m.
Man, Snoop burning that midnight
Well,
oil.
It's so much and you want to get it out because – these kids, God, by the time noon pops tomorrow, it's old to them. So it really is, you know, the kids keep you to make sure that you're on top of your stuff.
Make sure you're on that grind.
Yeah.
All right, so there it is, the Whataburger Top 5, our weekly chat with Bowie head coach Jeff Abels and a rundown of everything going on the high school football scene. We'll keep the Texas football talk going. We'll get back to talking Longhorn football in the next hour. But we've got to close out hour number one on a Friday. Where are we going, Snoop? Where are we going?
Get flaccid.
There. Well, I don't know about that, but we are going to the most flaccid state in the union. It's time to go grab that low-hanging fruit. It's a Florida Friday on Inconceivable. We'll do that when we come back on Light the Tower, on the Horn, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
RBKD.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Oh, Inconceivable. It speaks for itself when we go to the most flaccid state in the union. As Trey Elling says, we're going to Florida. We got to grab that. We save the low-hanging fruit for the end of the week. We grab it on a Friday. And, Snoop, I mention all the time, we don't discriminate when we go to the state of Florida.
Man, woman, child,
animal, whatever. We don't discriminate. We're an equal opportunity grabber of the low-hanging fruit. Whatever the case is, and we have a Florida woman and a Florida man tidbit on a Florida Friday for Inconceivable. How's this headline grab you, Snoop? Won't you count the red flags in here? Florida woman who sprayed neighborhood with machine gun as she chased fleeing dog nappers won't be charged. That's the headline. That's going to grab you right there.
And she won't be charged.
A wild gunfight during a dog napping in Florida somehow left nobody dead. This was all captured, Snoop, on a Ring doorbell camera. Captured the insane moment a homeowner blindly sprayed her neighborhood with a machine gun as she chased after three suspects who'd just stolen her two micro bully puppies. The incident occurred in West Park. This is in the Miami area, of course. Stereotype Miami, dog napping and machine guns only in Miami, Florida, I guess. The incident occurred in West Park at 7:30 p.m. on Monday. The woman who breeds and sells exotic dogs was at home with her girlfriend when she heard a knock at the door. She assumed the three teens at the door were inquiring about the dogs, but she noticed something off. Quote, "What the hell is going on here?" she recalled to Local 10 News. Quote, "As soon as I turned around, that's when he grabbed me and his boys got all frantic." She said one of the males grabbed her and held a gun to her head and there was a struggle. She said, quote, "As soon as I turned around, the other guy that was standing here went to put his arm around me and put a gun to my head. I started screaming, trying to wiggle myself out. The trio then fled the home with two of her puppies worth $4,000 each."
Yeah.
Man, I get it if you're into exotic dogs. What's wrong with just going to the shelter and adopting you a dog that really needs a home? Rather shelling out $4,000 for a dog? This better be like Air Bud if you're shelling out. It better be like Gus the Mule. He better be making field goals and free throws and doing all kinds of stuff for $4,000. I have two dogs. They're great dogs. Yeah. I paid a grand total of $50 for both dogs. One of my dogs I got for free. I just had to go pick her up off a Craigslist listing.
The best things in life are free.
The other, we basically paid, like, there was some people that had her in an apartment and didn't want to keep her, but they just wanted, like, the rehoming fee or whatever. Just paid them $50, and we took the dog. That's it. I didn't pay no $4,000 for a dog.
They're doing it for the gram, Jeff.
I guess, man. I don't know. Well, they're not doing it for much right now because what happens next is this is when the insane Ring video shows the three sprinting up the yard, one turning back to aim his gun at the doorway, and according to the woman firing at her, he even runs back to grab something, which he very nearly sincerely regrets. The dog owner bursts out of the house milliseconds later, clutching a semi-automatic weapon, ducking behind a car. Like, it's like a scene out of like a Fast and the Furious movie all of a sudden. Clutching a semi-automatic weapon, ducking behind a car in a driveway, spraying bullets in the general direction of the fleeing dog nappers. Glass and splinters can be seen exploding over her head as they return fire, narrowly missing her. So basically, this just turns into, like, I don't want to say your stereotypical Miami shootout, but it turns into your stereotypical Miami area shootout. There were no reports of any neighbors being shot. Police apprehended one 16-year-old suspect with no reported injuries. They won't know if the other three, including a getaway driver, or indeed either of the puppies were struck by any of the bullets until they find them. So, three other suspects still at large. The dogs are unaccounted for. Broward County Sheriff's Office confirmed the woman would not face any charges as she was defending her home. Quote, "I would have done anything to protect my girlfriend and my home, and my biggest goal was to make sure she was okay and we lived to see tomorrow," she said. Twitter, however, was just thankful that no random neighbors were walking by at the time. Yeah, I understand the need to, I'm all for home defense, but just riddling your neighborhood with machine gun fire, probably not the right answer.
Rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat. That's why I never hesitate to.
That's going to be a promo here on the station for too long. Maybe we'll have an update next week on the dog napping situation that led to the Tony Montana-style machine gun fire breaking out in a Miami neighborhood. We were just talking to Coach Abels about Waffle House. He said he's got to stay away from the Waffle House during football season. But I do know some coaches, like, they go to the Waffle House or go to a Mexican restaurant, whatever.
I love cheese grits there.
At the Waffle House?
Yes.
Ain't nothing wrong going
to
the
Waffle
House.
I love grits. Yeah, I can't really get grits many places.
But a Florida man, Snoop, tried robbing a Waffle House. This is in the north part of Florida. Really, it's Madison, Florida, which if you look at a map, it's a little more than halfway between Tallahassee and Valdosta, Georgia. So kind of the northern part of the state. You know what he tried to rob the Waffle House with, Snoop? Finger guns. Just made guns, like Texas Tech, guns up. Finger guns.
Well, did they comply?
A Florida man. Well, I'll take this ride with you. You'll figure it out. A Florida man was put in jail Monday after he decided to improvise during an alleged robbery at a Madison Waffle House, according to deputies. The Madison County Sheriff's Office said a Waffle House employee called them to the restaurant after a man identified as 28-year-old Eward William Rodriguez of Madison tried robbing them. Sheriff David Harper said witnesses told deputies that Rodriguez entered the Waffle House with a small dog, pointed his hands into finger guns, and yelled, get on the ground, y'all are getting robbed. Rodriguez then said he was high and drunk before grabbing some napkins and leaving the store.
Yes.
Deputies found the would-be, quote-unquote, armed robber at his home, where he admitted to robbing the restaurant of its napkins, according to the sheriff's office. He now faces charges for unarmed robbery and assault.
Unarmed robbery and assault
for robbing the Waffle House with finger guns to steal some napkins.
You know, he's probably just, you know, like covering his base in case he got really arrested. Because I'm sure it's going to be less charges, I hope.
So you're saying, like, there was a separate crime that he was maybe implicated in, yes, and knew he was going down, yeah, so figured, that's a like your theory, Snoop. You know?
And then maybe they won't throw the book at you.
Yeah, so.
I didn't come with real guns.
Forget that drug trafficking or whatever. You just stole some napkins from the Waffle House. Maybe they'll take it easy on you. And maybe in your conscience, you can, you know, sleep better.
Yes.
I don't know, but finger guns robbing a Waffle House, and you end up going to jail on unarmed robbery charges and assault charges. No word on what happened to the small dog that he entered the restaurant with. This is some dog stories. Yeah. Kidnapped dogs, a dog involved in a robbery.
Hopefully no copycat crimes for this. Yeah. Anybody hearing this, leave my manor Waffle House alone.
Yeah, don't go robbing the Waffle House with finger guns trying to steal napkins. Just ask for some, and I'm sure they'll oblige and give you some napkins. I don't know, those Snoop, supply chain issues. Maybe napkins are in short supply in some parts of the country, including Florida. That's going to do it for a Florida Friday and for Inconceivable. We will come back. Hour number two of Light the Tower is next on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.